Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Daniel Rasby from Higher Ground Financial Group. I'm a tax attorney.
And I'm Imran Rasby, his father. We're the father-son team, and we own Higher Ground Financial Group. We help people really for retirement purposes mostly, but we're here to just give you a lot of information. So one of the things, our catchphrase is risk, fees, taxes.
Those are the three biggest killers in retirement.
You can go to riskfeestaxes.com to learn more. And you can also go to YouTube and look up Higher Ground Financial Group and find a bunch of videos we've posted there, Higher Ground Financial Group on YouTube. But we get asked a lot of questions about crypto and about gold and silver, and we want to cover that a little bit. Those are all opinion-based assets.
Yep.
Okay, they're not guaranteed. They're opinion-based. Now, one of the things with cryptos is it could be nothing. I mean, there's been some cryptos that went bankrupt. There was a zero value, completely zero. And gold and silver, that'll never happen to gold and silver.
They're never going to be
worth zero.
They're never going to be worth nothing because the metal is, there is actual physical metal involved at some point.
Yeah, and there's some use for the metal. I mean, there's jewelry, gold jewelry. That's definitely always going to be there. People always need that. And then silver is a very, very highly sought after metal for technology. It's used in solar panels, it's used in EVs and batteries and cell phones and computers. Silver is used a lot. Now, not a whole lot of silver, but when you talk about billions of pieces a unit, it becomes a lot of silver.
But it's an opinion asset, and we talk about this on this program. You want a diversity between the contract assets and opinion assets, and most assets that you think of as assets are based on market opinion, like stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs.
Even your house.
Your house. Gold and silver are also opinion assets. And we say you got to move from opinion assets to contract-based assets, like insured accounts or treasuries or CDs, those types of things. That doesn't mean you never have any opinion assets.
Right.
We like you to own real estate. That's an opinion asset, right? So you're going to still keep some money in the stock market for in case the market grows high. But you want your income to be secured primarily with contract assets. But that doesn't mean that's where all of your money goes all the time. So the question is, out of the money that's going to be in opinion-based asset, this is not going to be guaranteed money.
Right.
So out of that money, how do you decide? Should it go in the stock market? Should it go in gold? Should you buy real estate? How do you decide on that?
Timing, not timing in the market, but time in the market is a very big indicator of what you should own, right? If you have 3 to 5 to 10 years that you can hold it and not sell it, then it may be an okay option because you could recover. So if you're going to buy gold or silver, you should really target at least 3 to 5 years before you're going to sell it. And you can sell it earlier than that. If the market just jumps up crazy and you want to get out,
go. And it did from in 2024, 2025, gold and silver went up a lot. 2026, what you're seeing is a lot of volatility. So you're seeing sometimes 15 or 20% up or down in a single day sometimes. And that's kind of crazy. Now, that's not really the norm. Over the very long term, we would not expect that to continue, even if it's continuing today and last week and next week. But over the long term, I mean, gold actually has outperformed the S&P in this century. So that's an interesting fact, even though I saw somebody posted the other day, in 1999, it took 43 ounces of gold to buy one share of the Dow Jones Index. And now it takes something like, whether it's, I don't remember, it was 7 or 10 or something like that, but it was really tiny compared to it. So the value of the gold went up a lot more than the Dow did, but that doesn't mean, it's always going to be the case. People move to gold and silver when they are concerned about the economy and they're concerned about inflation, and they think that it'll be a good hedge against inflation.
And the value of the dollar. If the dollar is dropping in value, then gold and silver are rising in value. So last year, the dollar dropped quite a bit, and gold and silver went up quite a bit.
And it was interesting because a lot of it, you don't really hear about investment advisors talking about gold and silver. Usually it's, oh, don't worry about that. That's all, baloney, and invest in where it's real, buy companies in the stock market. And it was interesting because back in late 2025, I think it was September or October of 2025, Morgan Stanley Their chief investment officer came out and said, we are now recommending, instead of the 60-40 stock and bond mix, the 60-20-20 stock, bond, and gold and silver. And so 20% allocation to gold and silver, which is very strange to hear from investment advisors, because again, usually that's not what they're
right.
talking about or recommending. And, you know, I would still have some difference of opinion with them as far as all of that money being in the market compared to any of it being contract-based assets, like we talk about on this program. But out of the money you have in the market, having a good allocation to gold and silver may make sense.
Yeah. And you know, if you're young, you know, under 50, then having it all in the market is okay, because you can work yourself out of a loss. If you have 40, 50% correction in the market, you still got 10 plus years you can work and gain the money back, and that's okay.
But biggest problem with market crashes is spending money while it's down. When you're retired, you have to spend money every year, whether it's down or up. That's why you need protection. When you're not retired, you don't need to spend money, so it's not as big of a deal when it crashes.
Or even if you're close to retirement, within 5 years, you should be really careful, because you can't afford to be in a downward market at that time. So that aside, you know, some people say, okay, if I'm going to buy gold and silver, when should I buy? How much should I buy? And as Daniel just said, you know, 20% is, you know, recommended, but just to keep it hold for at least 3 to 5 years, okay?
Right. Now, so don't buy and expect to sell it next week for a profit or whatever. And it's long-term.
And there's many different kinds of gold and silver you can buy. You can buy paper gold and silver, which is in the stock market. But, you know, there's like 263% more silver paper than actual silver. What that means is that they've resold that silver 263 times, like a bank has. It's fractional reserves. So if people want that silver, want to turn that paper in for silver, they don't have the silver. They have to actually go out and buy it someplace. And that's why a lot of banks have shorted the market, and they're having a problem because the silver price keeps going up and they can't afford to have that happen.
And so when you're in, if you want to use metals, silver and gold, physical is probably going to be better than a paper. And for that reason, I don't like to see my clients putting their IRAs in these precious metal IRAs.
Because what happens if you put IRAs or Roth IRAs into gold and silver, you can't take delivery of that. Somebody else has to hold it.
And that's a problem, because one of the reasons, and this doesn't mean it will happen for you and or for us or anybody, but one of the reasons that people often get concerned and they want to put more money into precious metals is in case there's a major war or major collapse of the dollar or something, and at that point, the dollar becomes nearly worthless. If that were to happen, even a very small allocation of gold and silver today would ensure that you're still going to be in great shape if that were to happen. So that's why you don't need a huge amount there if that's your concern. But whatever you do have, you want to have physical access to it. Because if you, you know, I had a client we talked to I think last year, the year before, and he said, look, I've got a couple million dollars. So I've got like 10% or 15% of the money in precious metals. I've got a few $100,000, like $300,000, I think he had in gold and silver. And I said, okay, great. Where is it? And he's like, well, I mean, it's in my IRA, so I can't touch it. So it's in a vault in Texas. But I mean, I'm assured that this is real. I do have the physical. It's not an ETF. It's the actual physical gold. Like, okay, well, that's a step above the ETFs. But what happens if your concern comes to bear? If you actually have a major economic collapse, do you think those armed guards that are being paid in dollars to guard your gold are still going to be there? Maybe they're going to be protecting their families. I'm not saying they're going to steal it, you know, but maybe they're spending time protecting their families now. And you're more than a gas tank away from getting it. So, you know, it's kind of, you're protecting against something that you're afraid of happening. But if that were to actually happen, you wouldn't really be protected.
And the reason was he wanted to be in gold and silver in case the dollar collapsed. So if that's the purpose, then that would not be the place to have it.
But if that's not the purpose, and that may always be in the back of somebody's head, but you know, we don't want to assume that's going to happen. We want to assume that the economy is going to continue. It'll have bad times and good times, but the dollar will always be worth something. And so it's not like you're going to have a total crash, but even that, it's better to have physical access, because you also have more privacy that way. When you own it in ETF, it gets reported places. If you buy, and depending on the type of gold and silver you buy, it can be more private or less private. So for example, if you're getting US minted coins, then there's no 1099 that's generated. There's no 1099 when you buy or when you sell. Now, does that mean it's tax-free? No, it does not mean it's tax-free. As a tax attorney, I have to tell you that you got to pay capital gains when you make a profit. But it is based on the honor system of you know, the IRS knows only what you tell them as far as how much you have and what you made a profit on. But when you inherit it and stuff, it doesn't get reported. There's a lot of things that are not reported that way. And so that it's helpful, especially if it's coins that have been in circulation for a long period of time. And that also cuts down on counterfeiting, because there's easy to counterfeit bars or rounds that they're not from a specific mint. But if it's an actual coin, then it's less easy to counterfeit, and it's a lot more easy to sell back sometime. So many people just buy from these online sellers and they get bars and stuff and they get shipped to them, but those sellers don't want to take them back if it's time to sell. So when we help our clients with that, if our clients want to go in that direction, we make sure they find a seller that will promise to buy it back at any time. And they have one that's very liquid that you can easily get to it, that's less able to counterfeit. So those are some things to think about.
So let's break it down. Let's say you've decided, okay, I want to buy some gold, silver. So now what's the next step? Where do I go? What kind of gold and silver do I buy? So Daniel just said, instead of buying bars of silver or bars of gold, you know, they can be very tiny, but they're easier to replicate and easier to counterfeit. So you don't really want those. Now, things that are coined, that, you know, the minted, they're kind of harder to replicate. And then what about the ones that are minted before 1933? That's when the U.S. decided to make gold and gold illegal and stop printing and minting gold and silver coins. Well, if you have pre-1933 coins, well, they're not minting anymore. So there's limited quantity of them. And so that makes it a lot better. So if you're interested in doing that, you should contact us at riskfeestaxes.com or higherground.financialgroup.com. And contact us. We can help you.
HGFG, Higherground Financial Group. It's
HGFG.com. So you can contact us, and as fiduciary and as tax attorneys, we can help you acquire some gold and silver at the best rates, as well as a company that will guarantee they'll buy it back when you want to sell it. So you don't have to go shopping around trying to go to a pawn store trying to pawn off your gold and silver. So there's right ways and wrong ways to do it. You should really investigate it and look at the right way to do it.
But again, we look at it more of as an investment allocation. You're having a certain amount allocated to these things. It's not just, oh, hey, the hype is there. Hey, the silver is going up. You should buy a few ounces here. You know, no. This is more of a long-term play. I think over the long term, it's going to go up. Silver and gold are undervalued. If that's the case, you know, maybe having 10 or 15% allocation to those metals, it could be useful. But again, you need to make sure you have your income sorted, that you're going to have the right amount of income in retirement. And all of these things are speculative. You can invest money in gold just like you can invest money in real estate, and the market may crash on you. So you could have less dollars worth next month or next year. And over the long term, it'll go up. Just like real estate recovers, it goes up over the long term. And so just make sure you have money in many different places. You're not just doing all or nothing in these different buckets. But talk to us and go to our website, like Raz said, riskfeestaxes.com. We're not here to preach doom and gloom and say, oh, the world's ending, you need to put all your money in this. No, this is a specific allocation for a small piece of your assets to hedge against long-term inflation and the weakening of the dollar. But it is not some place to put all your money in. That it can be still a good thing to mix in. Again, having covered those three killers, risk, fees, and taxes, minimizing those as much as possible. One of those risks is inflation risk, so we want to handle that as well. This is a good way to do that. Again, riskfeestaxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.